Each month, we speak with Tristan Parker from eAccess Bulletin. Now, the publication is free of charge and you can have it delivered direct to your inbox. But what we do is we take a look at some of the big topics in the most recent bulletins, and Tristan joins us. We've got technology, we've got transport, and we've got some leisure in there as well. But you're going to start with quite a biggie this time, and this is all around Apple.
Essentially, a lawsuit has just been filed against Apple in the United States over claims that its website is inaccessible for people with visual impairments. Again, a claim that it violates the Americans with Disabilities Act, the ADA, as it's known. So this action has been taken by a lady called Himelda Mendez, who is described as visually impaired and legally blind. And I mean, as you can imagine, it's quite a sort of complex topic to kind of get into, but essentially what she's saying is that Apple's website is not fully accessible for people with a visual impairment due to a number of factors, things like a lack of alt text, which describes images on a site when people are using a screen reader. And so in theory, all images are kind of meant to or should have this alt text embedded so that when a screen reader scans the page, it can read out what the image is, and various other problems as well, things like empty links that don't go anywhere or go to the same site. She's described as being a very proficient user of screen readers. So I think they're trying to establish that she's a very sort of capable person with technology, but she was still encountering problems on the Apple site. One other thing it's sort of important to say quickly is that she's not asking for any sort of compensation or anything in the lawsuit. She's requesting that Apple change its website to fix the issue as she sees it and make it more accessible for people with visual impairments by taking a series of steps. So there's a lot of talk about sort of inaccessible websites all the time, but this looks like kind of a very professionally filed case with a lot of thought gone into it. So it's, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how it pans out. And hopefully it's going to mean that whatever happens, hopefully it means that web accessibility is going to be talked about more.
Absolutely. I mean, we talk a lot about Apple and how it is great for accessibility in terms of lots of its products and services. So this was an unusual one to hear that its very own website was having issues. And a point I noticed, which you mentioned as well here, Tristan, is, you know, it says that she's a very proficient user. But then again, you know, you shouldn't have to be an expert to navigate a website. It should be quite intuitive and quite easy to do in the first place.
That's true. It should be usable by anyone.
One to follow then, Tristan. Now let's move on to public transport. That's always a sticky one in terms of access for people with disabilities.
Indeed it is, yes. Well, perhaps as a result of that, the Department for Transport has released what it calls its Inclusive Transport Strategy, which aims to map out how transport around the UK is going to be made more accessible for people with disabilities. And as you kind of suggested, this is, you know, accessible transport is a huge topic and something which everyone, I think, really feels could be improved and made a lot better. So the interesting thing, I suppose, for us at the Bulletin in terms of this strategy is that there's quite a lot of talk of technology, how technology can sort of help improve transport and make it more accessible for people with disabilities. For example, there's quite a few mentions of autonomous cars potentially being a benefit to people who don't drive or can't drive for some reason. It doesn't go into details about exactly how they're sort of, you know, planning to use autonomous cars, or it's just more a sort of like highlighting that these things could be useful, I guess, because it is an emerging area. But it's interesting to see that mentioned. One other thing is something called Wayfinder, which some of your listeners may have heard of. It's essentially a sort of audio navigation system which works through audio beacons placed in a building. So there were trials, I think, last year where these beacons were placed inside Euston Tube Station. And people with a visual impairment were using an app, and the beacons were kind of helping the app to trigger all these different cues. And essentially, it was helping them navigate around the station. I think it's very encouraging that advancements like that are being mentioned in this government strategy. I mean, you know, we've yet to see how they're going to be utilized fully, but it's it's encouraging to see them. And there was also a lot of talk in the strategy about consulting directly with people with these impairments to build things, which again is a very positive step. So let's hope that continues.
Interesting stuff there. Yeah, we've looked at WayFind over the past few years. We've followed its development, and the London Underground, I think, is a great place to trial it. It's a bit of a warren down there. Interestingly, you say, Tristan, they're talking about self-driving cars or autonomous vehicles, really looking to the future there, but hopefully there's plenty in this, so we'll come from it, that we can get a little bit closer to now. That'd be good, but I'm sure we'll follow up on that again. One more topic I know you want to touch on here, and something we kind of looked at recently as well, is access to events. So are we looking at kind of festivals, concerts, that kind of thing?
Yeah, that's right. So this is a charity called Attitude Is Everything. They work to make live music events more accessible for people with a range of disabilities. I actually covered this in the bulletin not so long ago. They released a big report. It was called the State of Access Report. And it was talking about, perhaps unsurprisingly, a lot of people with impairments are kind of put off going to live music events because it's because of all these various barriers, you know, everything from booking the tickets online in the first place, which can be incredibly difficult if the website isn't accessible, to issues when you arrive at a venue, things like there perhaps being too many steps or things aren't marked out enough. It's a whole range of issues. So sort of on the back of that report, really, the charity has now released a survey aimed at people with visual impairments and hearing impairments. They're trying to get into the nitty-gritty a bit more. So they're asking those groups of people exactly what issues and problems they face when they go to live music events, or when they're thinking about booking tickets to live music events. And so that information is going to be passed on to the music industry, and hopefully sort of it can kind of start to iron things out and just make things a bit more accessible. And so they're also looking for what they call mystery shoppers to work with them in this. So again, that's people with visual impairments and hearing impairments to go to gigs and kind of report back on what's good at certain venues, what's bad at certain venues, what could be improved. From a tech standpoint, and something that was highlighted in the report from the charity earlier this year, the online booking is really a huge barrier still. I mean, again, coming back to web accessibility, a lot of ticket websites were really kind of flagged up as being not anywhere near as accessible as they should be.
There's obviously more information on the bulletin about these topics. We're giving our listeners a flavour of what's coming up, and they can submit questions to you as well. But if they want to learn more about the publications or sign up or get in touch, how do they do that?
As you mentioned earlier, the bulletin is completely free. It's a once a month email. And so you can have a read of it online to get an idea of the content. So the address, the web address, is lists.headstar.com. And there's no www in front of that. It's just lists.headstar.com. And if you want to sort of get a bit more into the content and read some of the previous stories, you can go to our blog site, which is at www.headstar.com/EABLive. You can also reach us over Twitter. Our handle is at eAccessBulletin. And yeah, if anyone has any comments or suggestions or tech queries that other readers may be able to help with, please do get in touch. You can reach us on email as well. The email is eAccessBulletin@gmail.com.
Tristan, great chatting with you as always, and we'll catch up again next month. But thanks for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Great. Thanks a lot, Alan.